Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya. Vishvabhava Paramahansa Rajagacharya, also does this with AC. Vadana Samshita Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Namachar Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Premsaka Hosri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gaur Bhakti Vridhi Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopita Shama Punda Radha Kudde Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadab Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Ki Jai Samavetta Bhakti Vrindhi Ki Jai Gopremanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we have the great fortune of association of His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj, Sri Bol. So Maharaj is early morning coming just for giving his association to all of us. We are not able to go so far, so Maharaj is so kind, like the ocean is there. But the unfortunate souls cannot receive the water from the ocean directly. So therefore there is cloud of mercy which comes and which rains, you know, the shower and gives us the water which we can actually take. So similarly, Maharaj is so kind and merciful that he is actually coming all the way here to give us his association. Let's take it very seriously, sincerely. Maharaj is explaining about this difficult topics, actually. The most difficult topic in the whole creation to understand is actually about bhakti. And among the bhakti, the Shuddha bhakti is the most, even more difficult. And the practice of Raganuga bhakti, which has not been given from Chiradadattam Nijagupta Vittam, from so many lifetimes, which Mahaprabhu has revealed, and Mahavir Maharaj is revealing to all of us. So let's hear from His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. Come, let's welcome him by three times loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
How far did we get last time? Okay, so actually there are two parts of sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti leads to bhav bhakti. So there are two types of sadhana bhakti. All are based upon this definition, Anya Ablashta Shunya, Gyan Karma Dranavratam, Anukulena Krishna Nu Silanam Bhakti Uttama. So within that we get Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prem Bhakti, and within Sadhana Bhakti we get Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. So both Vaidhi and Raghunuga follow a definition of Sadhana Bhakti, which was action of the senses. So by engaging the senses, along with this definition, we end up with bhava. So therefore, this leads to this. And then we have two methods of doing that. One was vaidhi bhakti, which was you follow rules and regulations. And the other is raghunuga bhakti. So, the definition of Raghunuga Bhakti, it follows the Ragatmaka Bhakti found in the inhabitants of Raja. It's not only Bhakti for Krishna, but Bhakti for Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the type of Bhakti. And so the people there have a particular type of Bhakti called Ragatmaka Bhakti, full of Raga, completely full of this Raga. So that is what Raghunuga means. And so to attain Krishna in Vrindavan, you have to perform this Raganuga Bhakti. What is raga? Of course, raga means attachment. It's also used to mean attachment to material things, but here it means spiritual, obviously. And it has a very specific definition. It means complete absorption in the object of love, in Krishna. So much that we forget about any qualities of Krishna that produce greatness. So this is that spontaneous love. So the bhakti which is impelled by that type of spontaneous deep thirst for the object is called raga-atmaka bhakti, and that is found in the inhabitants of Raja. So, different types of people and different rasas have that raga-atmaka bhakti. The gopis have that bhakti, the parents like Nanda and Yasoda, and the elders with Vatsalya rasa, they have that bhakti. The friends have that type of bhakti like Subal and Sridharma, and even the servants in Dasya rasa, they all have raga-atmaka bhakti. So we follow after those persons, we follow their example and become inspired by them and try to do a similar type of bhakti. That's called Raganuga Bhakti. So it's not just the Madhurya Rasa, it's also the other rasas as well. So, what is the qualification? So it's defined as this greed. To develop that type of bhava of the inhabitants of Raja. One has to have a strong desire to attain that type of bhava. That is the qualification. So, what is the symptom of that greed? Intelligence does not depend on rules of scripture and logic. After we've realized to some degree the sweetness of the love through the process of hearing from scriptures. So we hear from Bhagavatam and other scriptures about the wonderful activities of the people of Vrindavan. Consequently, we develop attraction for that. And our attraction tells us to do bhakti, so we do bhakti. And we're no longer thinking about rules of scripture and logic in our execution of that bhakti. So that is the symptom of that greed. So it's not an external qualification, it's an internal qualification, a very great attraction for following those persons and trying to attain that mood in Vrindavan, same as those persons. That's the qualification. This does not mean that in Vaidhi Bhakti there is no spontaneity, because it is all based upon having faith and then developing an affectionate relationship with the Lord. But there's a predominance of dependence on rules in Vaidhi Bhakti. When Bhav Bhakti appears through Vaidhi Bhakti, then there's much less dependence on rules and regulations again. Because one's realized the Lord. But there's an influence that pervades that type of realization in bhava that comes from Vaidhi Bhakti, and that is we have great respect for Krishna. And that will continue into prema. So therefore, it does not qualify you for Vrindavan. You can go to Aishwarya Goloka, or you can go to Dwarka or Mathura instead. So they have to have that particular type of bhakti, where you don't see Krishna as God. So that preparation for that is the Raganuga bhakti. So we get that that greed, and then we don't depend on rules of scripture and logic. But that doesn't mean that we're completely independent of scripture, because it depends on scripture to develop, and then we also use scripture to nourish that Raganuga Bhakti by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, etc. So it's never independent of scripture. We have to understand the scripture to practice Raganuga properly also. So it's not that when we do Raganuga we suddenly ignore scripture, no. What are the activities? So prominent activities are remembrance, smaranam. So we remember the devotees of the Lord in Vrindavan and how they serve Krishna and their mood. Huh? And particularly those who we aspire for. That is, we develop a particular attraction for particular associates. So we may be interested in Sakirasa or Vatsalya, Madhurya, or Dasa, whatever. So we become absorbed in those particular devotees who are prominent in that rasa. So if it's Vatsalya Rasa, then we'll look at Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and concentrate on their pastimes and remember their activities in serving Krishna. And one lives in Vrindavan. So we have hearing, and we have remembering, and we have living in the Dham. Ah, so the living in the Dham, of course, not maybe literal. If one cannot live, physically live there, you meditate on living there. So, then we perform service, of course, remembering and hearing our services, but we perform services in two ways. One is in our physical body, and one is in our siddha body. So the siddha body is not yet a spiritual body, but it's the goal that we want to attain in bhava and prema, what type of body we want. Yeah? So if you are in Sakyarasa, for instance, or you aspire to be like a cowherd boy and follow after the cowherd boys in serving Krishna, then the Siddha Deha would be a cowherd boy form. If you were aspiring for Vatsalya Rasa, then the form would be an elder cowherd or a cowherdess, like Yasoda Ananda, serving Krishna as a parent. Or in Madhurya Rasa, then you would take a female form as a manjari or a gopi. So in other words, you meditate on serving in that body, yeah, in sadhana. So it's not yet perfection, it's a practice at this point. We call it the siddha deha, because hopefully you will assume that body and be siddha at that point in the future. So one practices serving. Now, even if you don't have that body and meditate on serving in that body, obviously, if you were to attain bhava and prema, you would get a body anyway. Just as in Vaidhi Bhakti, you end up with a body also. You don't meditate on the siddha body and Vaidhi Bhakti at all. Or in another sampradaya, like Sri Sampradaya, then they go to Vaikuntha, they get a body also. So you don't have to meditate on the body to get that body, but this is a way in which we particularize our service and particularize our rasa. So in doing it, obviously, we have to develop a body. So this is a way of, speeding up the process by meditating on it in advance. So it helps us form our spiritual body. So we have these two forms. One is service, internal service, mental service, in the Siddha Rupa. For instance, in Madhurya Rasa, we follow after Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, and others. So we develop a form, a female form, to do that. And then in the physical body, we perform services following Rupa and Sanatana and others. So we do regular things like in Vaidhi Bhakti, similar type of activities, worship the deity, chant our rounds, attend Mangal Arati, do all these other sort of activities as well. So externally, we may be doing the same thing. Internally, then we're doing this other activity. So the Siddha Deha, that activity means we have to have some internal meditation also. So that becomes a little more prominent. That smaranam becomes more prominent. So there were three activities, smaranam, hearing, and dhamma. So the smaranam aspect is we meditate on our siddha deha and do service in that body. So that is a little different from the avaidhi sadhana. Of course, if you're doing Vaidhi Bhakti, you could also do such a thing. Of course, it would be more in, there's the story of the Brahmana who worshipped the Lord internally rather than externally, and he offered all the items to Vishnu, including the sweet rice, and he burned his finger. So he was doing internal worship also, maybe not in a siddha body, but not almost like a siddha body. He was doing that because he burned his finger even in serving it. So you could also do that within Vaidhi Bhakti itself. So it's not just in Raganui. You could do it in Vaidhi Bhakti. When you meditate on serving the Lord, you could do that. In fact, in Archana, there is a process before you do the puja. After you purify your items and purify your body, you do manasa puja. So you offer all those items that you're going to offer, like flowers and whatever, decorations, etc. Mentally, you go through the whole process of serving Krishna and bathing Krishna and dressing Krishna, doing all these things internally. And to do that, you also need a body of some sort. So in one sense, in Manasa Puja with an Archana, in Vaidhi Bhakti, you're also kind of using a Siddhadeha of some sorts, but it's not emphasized so much. So there, it's a little more formal, of course, because it's in the Archana process. Here, one is serving throughout the day, morning service, afternoon service, evening service, and a very spontaneous mood of Vrindavan. So that's the difference here. So we're following after the Vraja residents who don't follow Vaidhi. So in Manasa Puja and Didi worship, there's a regular order. You offer different items and you're offering this in a certain order, etc. So a little more regulated. Here it is, according to the times of day. All day long, actually. So two services, external service and internal service. Which means also that probably you have to dedicate a little more time because you have to have the internal service as well as the external service. You've got something extra to do. So here we have this Siddhadeha, which I've kind of shadowed over because it's not the actual Siddhadeha. When you get to Bhava and Prema, then it actually becomes the form. You serve in that form because you realize Krishna and you're serving Krishna directly in that form. But this is the precursor of that form. So by meditating it ahead of time, it's quicker process. So therefore, Raganuga is said to be a quicker process than Vaidhi, because we have things like this to encourage us to go quicker. We have that, we're developing our form ahead of time. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whatever you meditate on when you die, you attain that. So the more you concentrate on that particular form, you attain it. So we concentrate on Krishna, we attain Krishna. So this is concentrating on your Siddhadeha, and you attain that Siddhadeha to serve Krishna. The discriminating practitioner should accept the angas which are mentioned in Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, as angas of Raganuga Bhakti. So therefore, many of the items are similar. The discriminating practitioner means they accept the angas which are favorable for their service. Some angas may not be so favorable, so they'll reject those angas or avoid those, not doing them so much. Other angas are very favorable, they'll completely accept those. So hearing and chanting, obviously, are very important. So those are accepted, but then other angas like deity worship maybe or may not be, depending on the particular person, whatever. For Raganuga Bhakti, for Grihastha, it's always recommended they do deity worship. Yeah? So even if he's practicing Raganuga, probably then he would be doing deity worship as well. So we have types of Raganuga, depending on the bhava. We have Madhurya bhava, in which we directly associate with Krishna, like as a sakhi, whatever. And we have Tadbhava Ichatmaka Bhakti, which is desiring the sweet mood of love of those devotees. So that ultimately means Manjari Bhava, serving the Sakis and Krishna indirectly, but not aspiring for direct service. So it is also said here, if you want a Madhurya Bhava, but you're doing Vaidhi Bhakti, then you become a queen in Dwarka instead, because this is where you get the influence of Vaidhi makes you see Krishna as Supreme Lord. So the relationship with Krishna as Supreme Lord is in Madhurya Rasa in Dwarka. And then Vishnu Chakravarti says also that you could also, if you don't worship Krishna in his Dwarka form, but you're worshiping Krishna with Radha in a Vrindavan form, then obviously you shouldn't go to Dwarka. So he said there's a place called Aishwarya Goloka, in which Krishna is there in cowherd boy form, etc. But the people worship Krishna with Aishwarya mode also. So that's an intermediate state. So you could also go to Aishwarya Goloka through Vaidhi Bhakti and attain Radha Krishna or be a cowherd boy with some Aishwarya Bhav mixed into your bhakti. Yeah. So then we can say that yes, to get you have to practice Raganuga and use your Siddha Deha to go to Raja in the spiritual world, true. But even if you're to practice Vaidhi Bhakti and worship Radha Krishna, you can also get to Aishwarya Goloka. Maybe it's not the best alternative, but you should get the spiritual world. You get Krishna and Vrindavan in a sense, but a little Aishwarya is mixed in the mood through that Vaidhi Bhakti. So, besides that, Madhurya Bhava, which is called Kama Nuga Bhakti, we have the other types of Raga Nuga. We call Sambandha Nuga, the other types of relationships. So we have parental relationship, Vatsalya, we have friendly relationship, Sakya, or we have Dasya. These are the ones which are aspired for by people on this path. So the Santa is not really mentioned at all here. That's a type of Raga Nuga. So it's the higher rasas, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya, and then Madhurya. So one can aspire and follow after any of these moods. So, of course, in our sampradaya, we emphasize the Madhurya Bhava, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's considered to be quite exclusive or rare, and also rahasya, secret to some degree. The other moods, of course, are not so secret. So, therefore, we have a whole sampradaya in Vatsalya Rasa, that is the Vallabha Sampradaya, and that's all Raganuga. So in that sense, it's not a secret thing there. It's everybody, they take initiation to everything, and they're doing Raganuga Bhakti from day one. Seeing Krishna as a parent and take him as their child. They act as parents and they see Krishna as their child. So it's not such a rahasya type of thing. Only the Madhurya one is considered somewhat rahasya, a secret. So what is the cause? Of course, the qualification was greed, but then how do we get the greed or whatever like that? So, what is the cause? Mercy of Krishna and his devotees is the only cause of attaining Raganuga Bhakti. So, if we get the mercy of devotees, that means that a devotee who has that Raganuga enthusiasm associate with him, and then we develop similar type of enthusiasm for Raganuga. So, therefore, we do the different types of sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana. We end up with bhava, arising from Vaidhi, Vaidhi Utta Bhava, and then we end it with prema, Vaidhi Utta Prema. So by doing Vaidhi sadhana, we're not derived of prema, we're not derived of a realization of Krishna also, or even a realization of Radha Krishna, because you can go to Aishwarya Goloka. But if we want that pure Madhurya sweetness in Vrindavan, then you have to do the Raganuga type. And then you get Raganuga. So there's an emphasis by Lord Chaitanya on the chanting of the holy name. So this is one of the prominent features. So even in Raganuga Bhakti, then they chant the holy name. In fact, they become absorbed in chanting the holy name, and at the same time they're doing smaranam, meditating on the pastimes in Vrindavan. So the chanting of the holy name is never given up. We can't do Raganuga and then we forget about chanting and things like that. In fact, you increase the chanting more and more. Increase smarana, increase chanting. That's Raganuga. So So there is this thing about the sarup here. You have the two forms, yeah? You have your siddha-deha, etc. So then the question comes, how do you get the siddha-deha? Where does it come from? Yeah? So there is one method, which has codified, was codified very early by Gopal Guru Goswami and his disciple Jan Chandra Goswami. Gopal Guru was a disciple of Rakeshwar Pandit, who was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So they established Raganuga Padati, a manual for Raganuga. I've translated that also, the Dhyan Chandra's Padati. That's for, of course, for Madhurya Rasa. And in there, then they have a particular method for getting your Siddha Deha. So the guru will give you a particular form, that is, in this case, a Manjari form, with 11 characteristics, that is, the name, the form, the dress, the service, etc., different things, the order, etc. So 11 different things that the guru gives. So you're called so and so Manjari, your complexion is so and so, your age is, you know, 8 years old or 8.5 years old or 10 years old or whatever. Your cloth is this color or whatever. You're in this group of gopis following after so and so, like that. So it gives you these 11 items, and so that's your, what you call the Siddha Pranali that is given. So that was established by Gopal Guru Goswami and Jan Chandra through that Padati. That spread through Bengal and into the Babaji's, etc., and Radhakund, etc. So quite current among the Goswamis also. Goswami lines in Bengal, they also give this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur got a Manjari form from his guru. Bepan Bihari Goswami, who was in the Nityananda Vamsa line, and that. So it's been common in different places after that point, Siddha Deha, in Manjari Bhava. The Sakya Bhava, there was a little book written which I've also translated. It was quite common in Bengal because Lord Chaitanya's associates, many were in Sakya Rasa, like Abhiram Thakur, etc. Later on, that they seem to have converted into Manjari Bhava somehow or other, though the descendants, but that this Bhava was there, and one of the disciples of a disciple of that group, he wrote a book, Nayanananda wrote a book on Sakya Bhava, and all, you know, a meditation on 8 types of the day on that as well. I don't know if he mentions the Siddha Deha there, but anyway, you follow after, you know, Subal or Sri Dhamma like this, and then develop your form. So anyway, there is that Siddha Deha through the guru and the getting that form. Remarkably, Vishnu Chakravarti never mentions about that Siddha Pranali doing that. In Raghavatam Chandrika, which is written several hundred years after Jan Chandra's Padati, you must have known about it. He just says three ways you can get your thing. One is internal inspiration. One is from a guru, your Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru. Another is from another great devotee. So he gets three alternatives for that, of developing your Siddha Deha internally. You could also get inspiration for it. Gokishoras Babaji says you just chant Hare Krishna and you're revealed eventually. So as I said, even if you didn't do that, if you were attained bhava automatically, you would get a body anyway, because you have to see Krishna and you have to serve him, so you would have some sort of body anyway. So it's not an absolute necessity, but it's a way of quickening up the process, and therefore that procedure is there. Now, so we also have combined form. If you cannot do Raganuga completely, then you combine it with aspects of Vaidhi Bhakti. So we may appreciate Vaidhi Bhakti, but we don't feel competent to do such smaranam, etc., and complete reliance on, you know, just depend on the inspiration from the devotees in Vrindavan. Then we can mix elements of Raganuga with elements of Vaidhi. So we can have some dependence on the roles of scripture. We may have more emphasis on Archana or whatever, and maybe a little less smaranam, whatnot, but still read more or hear about Krishna more in his pastimes in Vrindavan. So we can mix the elements together, so it's not fixed one or the other. So there's intermediate processes also. So there are different stages of development in Raganuga. particularly for Raganuga, Shravanam is the hearing process where we become very attracted to hearing about the activities of Krishna and Vrindavan. Varna, you can get the Siddha Deha from the Guru at that point. Or actually, and I think in Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that even after getting the Siddha Deha, when you become absorbed in that service, is called Varana, which means literally acceptance. And then Smarana, we emphasize more the Smarana aspect, and we meditate on serving Krishna throughout the day, eight parts of the day. And that can go through different stages. Dharana, like in yoga, dharana is less concentrated, jhana is more concentrated, anusmriti is more concentrated, and samadhi is ultimate realization. And then apana means we actually realize Krishna, and we have our actual spiritual body. That's called apana dasa or bhavapana, that stage. Last stage is sampati, where you give up the material body and you enter into the spiritual world. So, of course, prema is that stage, but you could get prema in the apana stage, I suppose, also. And then, so, basically, we can categorize it like that, but that's a very general categorization. It could vary or whatever. So, Raganuga was emphasized, was actually the main type of bhakti, it seems, within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, up until Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see a very great emphasis on Raganuga Bhakti in Chaitanya Shikshamrita and Jiva Dharma and Haridam Chintamani. Whole last sections are all Raganuga. And even Ekadas Bhava, that comes in there also. So it's with Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he more or less began to restrict the practice of Raganuga for different reasons. So one reason is, probably, I don't know if I haven't researched this, but when we put more emphasis on spontaneity than and less on rules, there can be a danger that people may become lax in their vows and whatever like that. So, in other words, they don't follow the rules correctly. At the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone was enthusiastic. Then later on, we see when Bhaktivinoda is observing, he started to criticize some of these people and say they're not actually following properly, like whatever. And then Bhaktisiddhanta was even more sort of vocal in his criticism of people. They get this, because traditionally everyone would just get the Ekadas Bhava, etc., and whatever, but nobody would use it. So he said, what's the use of this? You know, they're very proud of the fact they got a Siddha Deha, but they're not really doing smaranam. They're not, you know, using that, you know, facility for any good purpose, you know. So they're not really qualified for that. And of course, then there's others, the laxity, that they become very lax because there's more less emphasis on rules. So unless one is qualified and fixed already, then it may be a problem to practice Raganuga. Another is the conjugal pastimes are a little more intimate, and people reading them may equate that with their material sentiments and also develop, stimulate their material desire instead in the conjugal pastimes. So that's another aspect. So that's why the conjugal rasa, Madhurya rasa, is a little more confidential, and the others are not. Like, as I said, the Vatsalya Bhava whole sampradaya is from the very beginning Vatsalya, so not such a controversy, but Madhurya pastimes, more controversy there. And thus one has to reach a certain level of renunciation for the practice. Of course, it is not, doesn't mean you have to be a renunciate, because we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur got his Raganuga initiation more or less very early before he renounced. He was still a Grihastha at that time. And most of the persons in the Sampradaya who were Grihasthas before Bhaktisiddhanta introduced sannyas, there were some Babajis, but most were Grihasthas, and they all took Raganuga also. But at least one has to be, to practice properly, one just has to have some sufficient time for the smaranam, and also one has to have a level of detachment so that that idea of not following, not depending on rules and regulations doesn't degrade the person. So then one has to have some time, quite a lot of time available. And that's the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you chant 64 rounds a day, whatever. So obviously if you're having a job, it's very difficult to do that. Another, of course, is preaching to the public at the modern time. Just to introduce Raganuga directly may not be the best method for people, because now people are so fallen and they don't follow any rules and regulations. It's very difficult for them to immediately start practicing this. When Lord Chaitanya was alive, people had a certain standard in general. So now that standard is not there anymore. So more difficult to practice for that reason. Yeah? Oh, okay, finished.
That's from Vallabha Sampradaya. You were saying that from beginning they practice Raganuga.
Mm.
But then how is it technically possible? Because as you said that even in the Raganuga, one is dependent on the Shravanam from the Guru or scripture, etc. So that first he has to hear.
Then, well, I suppose before the initiation they're hearing and whatever, and they go into the temple and they hear the lecture, so that even before they get there, what do you call it, their initiation there, but the whole mood is Raganuga in the sense that, you know, they're spontaneously serving Krishna as the mother and father.
Even in that they have to learn how to serve properly, otherwise they will just speculate.
Well, I suppose tradition, simply they're born in a family of Raganuga Bhaktas, so from childhood, you know, they see the mother and father doing the same thing and they follow the same rules and
So they also, because the Kali Yuga is anyway giving so many options of sense gratification.
Yeah, of course. So now it may not work so well. Even there, it may not work so well.
So they have to also learn the difference between body and soul.
Yeah,
they have to also
know
there is some amount of material detachment necessary. All these things, how will they come to know them?
Well, as I said, the aspects of knowledge are not barred from there. And you know, even in Raganuga, in our sampradaya, there is some dependence on scripture. So the basics of hearing Krishna's pastimes, the basics of tattva must be there in any case. So I would say that's the same for Vallabha. So then the Acharya, Vallabhacharya, has written commentaries on Bhagavatam and commentary on Brahma Sutras. So we get Sambandha Tattva there very prominently in both works. So if they're serious, then they would have the Sambandha Tattva also. A lot of it is, again, tradition, just like in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, it became a tradition, and they just became a family thing. So the father took it, I take it, and we get, and it goes down like that. So the same in Vallabha, the children get it. So like in, even there's one devotee who's followed, he's actually in one of the lines, one of the guru lines there, and he got it when he was a child, but he didn't know anything about it. Then he met ISKCON, he became an ISKCON devotee, and then afterwards he's thinking, well, what was this, you know? Because it was his tradition, they were in the tradition, and there were gurus in that line, and then he was in that line, but so he didn't know anything at all, but they just accept in that line from tradition's sake.
You're mentioning that when it is coming from tradition, it is not called a Shraddha, because the faith may not be developed.
I guess we call Laukaka Shraddha. It's a type of Shraddha, but it's not the actual one that we call Shraddha, because it's not pure bhakti.
So if one has to get Sambandha Gyan, to even in those lines, and then even whether in Gaudiya or in the Vallabha, so if the Sambandha Gyan one receives, then definitely one also knows about God being great and God's greatness, etc. So then it may get overshadowed by greed later on, but then at least in the beginning they are having some Vaidhi kind of.
So they also study Bhagavad Gita and do so many things like that as well. I don't know if Vallabha's written a commentary or not, but anyway, they study Bhagavad Gita, they recite Bhagavad Gita, so they know them, you know, there's some emphasis is there upon Sambandha also.
Raj, the question comes that when we say that what is the qualification for practicing Raganuga, so we hear that greed is to greed to develop a particular type of a rasa and then relationship and service to Krishna. But that being a true qualification, yet as you also mentioned later on that there can be difficulties in the practice of Raganuga. So can we also define that? Can we also have some other measure other than just the greed? Because one may start a practice and may get baffled in between because of not being sufficiently detached. So what is the, how can we more specifically say this is the qualification one can begin Raganuga?
This is all they mention as far as our Goswamis in the scripture. It's that the greed is the thing, and then the interest in the hearing about Krishna, etc. That's all they give. They don't say anything else. So theoretically, like in Raghavartma Chandrika there, he says one could begin from the beginning on, if one has in previous lifetimes already developed that greed, start with Raghunuga. He gets faith in it, then he goes through Anarshanavirti, Bhajanakriya, Anarshanavirti. He just goes all the way through it like that. So that could be there. One would assume that if he took it from previous lifetime, therefore he would already be controlling the senses, etc. So if that's not the case, then only in this lifetime he's to develop that greed somehow or other through association. It would appear that previous, again, Shraddha is important, just to start the process of bhakti, Shraddha would have to be there. And then there would be some sort of qualification, like in, we talked about the qualification in Vaidhi Bhakti, not too attached to materialism and not too detached. I think that same qualification would also have to be there. And then maybe the, ruchi for the topics of Krishna, taste for the topics of Krishna, but then in this case it would be Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, but then not too much attachment to material things would have to be qualification. No, it's not mentioned directly, but I would assume that's the thing there. If they're too attached, then it'll be very unsteady. Even with Vaidhi Bhakti, it'll be unsteady.
Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing in Jaiva Dharma that till the time a person has so much influence of Maya, he should only be told to practice Vaidhi. But when the influence of Maya becomes loosened, then he may start the Raganuga practice. So I could not understand that, but what exactly is loosening of effect of Maya exactly? And like, one cannot completely be out of Maya because that's called as bhava in the Vaidhi.
Well, I suppose only as far as steadiness is concerned. So we have anarchanavritti and then we get to nishta and then ruchya sakti bhava. So we practice Vaidhi bhakti and we go through the anishta stage, then we get to anishta stage. To get to the nishta, we have to go through an anishta stage, and in that stage you may have more problems, and nishta you wouldn't have any problems. So it's always advisable, even in Vaidhi Bhakti, to come to nishta and not be at anishta stage. So we can say that Raghunuga, because there is a little more dependence upon smarana, that the mind would have to have a little more qualification. So that's why I think he says that that you would do the Vaidhi first, and if you're anishta, then it would be easier to do it, at least anishta or ruchi, much easier to do Raghunuga, because you could concentrate the mind easier at that point, whereas if you're at anarchanavritti stage, anishta, how are you going to do smarnam? Very difficult.
So this technique of smarana also, one has to learn from the guru, how exactly to do the smaranam, because hearing one can do from the books also, reading one can do, but the smaranam, should one learn from the guru or like?
Well, in terms of the Gaudiya, what they do is they think of the pastimes of Krishna throughout eight parts of the day, and then you participate in those pastimes serving in your particular rasa. So there's particular activities Krishna does in eight parts of the day, so the smaranam would consist of, during the day, you meditate like that. So in Jiva Dharma, it says that actually, I think it was Vijay Kumar, became very absorbed, so he would be, except for the time of sleeping, when Radha Krishna went to sleep, then he would go to sleep, and then when they woke up, he would get up, and he would start his service again, just like they woke up in the morning, and he would start serving them throughout the day, like that. And then when they took their prasad, then he would take his prasad real quick, the maha prasad, and then again, he would start doing a service. So it would be quite an intense type of smarnam all day long.
Now, I was reading this book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, Shivaram Maharaj has written. So he says that an ISKCON devotee has to practice this kind of a Raganuga. He doesn't have to give up his preaching, because Mahaprabhu is inaugurated the preaching movement and Prabhupada very much emphasized Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, etc. So we don't see these acharyas who are our current acharyas, like even yourself, even our spiritual masters, or these devotees doing such kind of Ashtakaliya, at least from externals, it looks like they're not doing.
I don't think anyone's doing Raghunuga as such. Nobody's really doing Raghunuga. What we're doing is a mixture. It's not pure Vaidhi also. because obviously we're concentrating on Krishna. We have Krishna, Radha Krishna deities in our temple, and we hear the pastimes of Krishna, so like that. In that sense, there's some Raghunuga within our variety, so there's a mixture at that point. But as far as getting into the smarana aspect, I don't think that has been emphasized anywhere in ISKCON so far. Nobody's really doing it.
So without this smaran, then one can go to Golok Vrindavan? Or
well, it just takes longer. And I'm saying this whole process of the Siddhadeha and the Smarnam and the Siddhadeha, it's a process of speeding up the process. Huh? So you can go, but it'd be a slower process, and eventually probably in one lifetime you would get to that stage where in Asakti, in Ruchi and Asakti, there would be an automatic more concentration on Krishna internally anyway, even in Vaidhi Bhakti probably at that stage. Huh? So it would automatically take place as you advance anyway.
The particular case which I read in this Sivaram Maharaj book, that the devotee is preaching throughout the day, but in the night he is awake and he is actually meditating on these pastimes.
Oh,
the only thing is that
what?
He has to give up his sleep completely.
Okay, well, yeah. Which is a little impossible, isn't it? Unless he's doing it when he's dreaming.
He's saying that he is basically practically awake throughout the night. He's chanting 64 rounds during the night time.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be very difficult, huh? For most people.
So I don't know, maybe is it like Asakti gives you completely shackles of body also release, and maybe one is only resting 2 hours or what? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely one could, if one is at that stage, then the body necessities are much less. Also sleep and eating and whatever, much less.
So can we say, Maharaj, that we being in Gaudiya, Sampradaya, so Mahaprabhu, if we are worshipping and we are trying to preach and please him, that let so many people come to Krishna consciousness, which is the mood of this Gaudiya Parampara. So can we not say we are also going to get some advantage at least, though we may not get time for smaran, but if you are doing preaching, so will it be compensating for this? Or like?
Well, I think it's according to our qualification also. If it's only according to our qualification, we can do certain activities. So when one was very qualified for the smarnam and high, to a high degree, then one will automatically gravitate towards that. Yeah? But before that, probably one won't concentrate on that and will do other things. But there's no loss there because one's become qualified for that later on.
Any other questions? We have to end in a few minutes.
Maharaj, out of 9 limbs of bhakti, we hear that Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, these 3 are very important.
Yeah.
And out of these 3, Kirtanam is more important than the other 2 because it encompasses Smaranam and Sravanam. But in Raghunuga, we see that Smaranam is more important.
But Smaranam, they're chanting also, simultaneously. So he says chanting 64 rounds, he's chanting 64 rounds and Smaranam at the same time.
Maharaj, we know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this viraha bhava, mode of separation a lot, even while chanting or doing any services. When someone is doing smaranam, how can there be that bhava? Because he would be meditating, and how can he feel that separation from the Lord?
Well, at certain points of the time, like in Madhurya Rasa, then Krishna is separated from the gopis. He's not always with them. So in the morning after Krishna goes home and then Radha goes home, then there's separation at that time. And then in the daytime, sometimes, in some of the pastimes, then Radha automatically gets angry or something and then there's separation there. Like in the noonday pastimes or whatever like that. So periodically, it's not prolonged separation, but there is some separation there throughout in the Astakalya Lila also.
One last question. Yes. What is the process Gopakumara is following? He is following this kind of Raghunuga by meditating on the Siddhi Bodha.
He started out chanting his mantra, Diksha Mantra, which we can say is more like Vaidhi Bhakti, Pancharatrik process, and he did that for a day of Brahma actually, throughout going higher, lower planets and chanting his mantra and chanting his mantra. Later on, when we got to Vaikuntha, then he still was unsatisfied there, so Narada Muni and actually even the Vishnu Dutas told him, you have to do kirtan to go any higher. So then he started doing kirtan, chanting the holy name. So from that then he eventually got to Goloka. So it looks like he started out with Vaidhi and then he converted into it. Of course, it wasn't even Raganuga because he actually got perfection at a certain stage. You know, they told him you got your spiritual body already, whatever. But he finally went through Vaikuntha and Dwarka, Ayodhya, and then Dwarka, and then finally to Goloka.
And Maharaj, are there any actually Santarasa exist in Vraja? Because
they don't mention it as such, except in a little bit indirectly, but they say the young children who were like 3 years old or something that haven't developed any particular rasa like Dasya, except they're in Shanta rasa. And maybe the elder people also are very old, that are beyond parenthood even. They also be in Shanta rasa. And maybe a few sages also. If there's a few sages hanging around somewhere and wandering around for Dhamma, they may be in Shanta rasa.
Hey, Zalunas Bhanu Swami Maharaj ki! Let's thank Maharaj for such a wonderful explanation of Raganuga Bhakti. Next time Maharaj will continue forward to Bhava and then Prema Bhakti stages. Let's thank Maharaj by loudly chanting Hribo! 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 So devotees can come and take prasad.